I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, more politics during a pandemic. This week, we saw friction between two heads of state after President Trump put Governor Roy Cooper in the crosshairs of his active and now partially fact-checked Twitter account. On Monday, Trump threatened to pull the Republican National Convention out of North Carolina if Cooper couldn't guarantee full capacity for the event that takes place in August. The next day, Cooper responded.
I'm not surprised by anything that I see on Twitter. I will say that it's okay for political conventions to be political, but pandemic response cannot be.
Cooper added that his office asked the Republican National Committee to deliver a game plan for ensuring the health and safety of the convention's attendants.
This virus is still going to be with us in August, and we're going to have to take steps to protect people.
And on Thursday, Republicans answered with a vague and incomplete set of guidelines, seemingly tossing the ball back into Cooper's court. But Cooper hasn't given the green light just yet. In response, he's asked the committee to offer more details on how they plan to keep attendance safe and socially distant at the convention. There's no way around it. Planning for the future during a pandemic is challenging. It's hard enough figuring out what a convention in August might look like, but figuring out how voting could take place in November is even trickier, especially as the threat lingers of a potential second wave of COVID-19 cases this fall. But that planning has to happen now, and so a bill is making its way through the General Assembly that will make it easier for people to vote by mail instead of going in person to the polls. It turns out President Trump has some issues with that, too.
When you do all mail-in voting ballots, you're asking for fraud. People steal them out of mailboxes. People print them, and then they sign them, and they give them in. And the people don't even know where they're double-counted.
Regardless of what's coming from the White House, vote by mail in North Carolina has mostly bipartisan backing from those in the General Assembly. The measure cleared the House with nearly unanimous support Thursday. It's now on its way to the Senate. What will this new bill mean for the upcoming elections? WUNC politics reporter Rusty Jacobs told me state officials expect interest in voting by mail to skyrocket this fall as people remain concerned about going to crowded polling places.
So, one provision would allow voters to request absentee by mail ballots using fax or email. Right now, you have to do it by mail, or you have to go to the County Board of Elections to pick up that absentee by mail form. The other thing is it reduces the number of witnesses needed from two or a notary to just one witness to submit the absentee ballot. And that's a big deal because people might be homebound right now and living alone, or you're just not living with someone who can be a witness for an absentee ballot.
So this voting by mail is obviously a contentious issue across the country. Here it's been a pretty bipartisan effort to make it easier. Why do you think that is?
A few reasons. One, both a Republican lawmaker I spoke to and a director of a social justice civil rights organization said basically the same thing. Absentee by mail is not unusual in North Carolina. It's pretty well established, and it's no excuse. You don't have to be in a certain kind of situation to vote absentee by mail in North Carolina. You simply have to be a registered voter, but you have to request the absentee ballot. And obviously, the expectations are that many more voters this cycle, this year, will request absentee by mail ballots. But again, it's not unusual. It's pretty well established. Another thing that's well established is more than 2 weeks of early voting. So some of the things you see raising issues and becoming divisive wedge issues in other states, it's simply not the case here. A lot of what you're hearing is coming directly from the Beltway, namely Washington and namely the White House. Suddenly, President Trump is raising the specter of voter fraud when it comes to mail-in balloting, and that is just simply not historically proven. There's no evidence of that. Of course, there's one case of what we'll call ballot tampering, not voter fraud. It's a big difference, but there's a case of election fraud here from 2018 in North Carolina that involved a Republican candidate. But other than that, there's simply no evidence that voter fraud comes with mail-in balloting.
So you mentioned 2018. That was the case of McRae Dowless. He was working for a Republican operative at the time, as you mentioned. Did that case influence this bill in any way?
I don't think so. I will just note that there were provisions put in state law after the 2018 9th Congressional District scandal that were meant to prevent the kind of fraud you saw around absentee ballots. People who were requesting absentee ballots had to register, and so it was meant to enable county boards to make sure the people who were requesting ballots were actually getting them and then submitting them. Again, I don't think any fears around what happened in 2018 influenced what happened with this bill. The reality is, this bill was crafted at a time when people are clearly afraid of going to crowded places like polls. People want a social distance. People want an alternative to going to polls on Election Day this year because of the pandemic. The provisions were put in there to make it easier for those people to vote by mail if they want to. And it should be pointed out, it brings in funds, appropriates funds for counties to make sure that the polls that are open are safer.
Now, this was, as you mentioned many times here, a bipartisan effort, Republicans and Democrats both wanting a lot of the same things. But there are some things that voting rights proponents did say that doesn't go far enough to allow people to vote or make it easier for people to vote. What did they want that they didn't get?
They didn't get absentee by mail ballots being sent to all registered voters. Again, the expectation is you're going to see a jump in interest in absentee by mail voting. It was something like 4%. In 2016, state officials are expecting it to go up to as much as 30 or 40% submitting absentee by mail ballots. With that interest, because of fears about crowded polling sites, some voting rights advocates wanted to see the elections board sending out absentee by mail ballots to all registered voters. That way, anybody who wants to submit one can submit one. Voting rights advocates would like to see an extension of the voting registration deadline. It was pointed out that this time of year, in a big election year with the presidency on the line and other offices being decided, you would see people out in front of grocery stores at fold-up tables asking shoppers to register to vote. You're not seeing any of those efforts because of the coronavirus pandemic. And there's no telling when or if you'll see any of that kind of registration drive before the fall election. For that reason, voting rights advocates want to see an extension of the voter registration period. They'd like to see Election Day as a holiday. None of those provisions are in the bill.
And finally, obviously, the president is very interested in this issue. President Trump tweeted numerous times, making all kinds of assertions, most of them false, about mail-in ballots. Did that come up at all in the last few days in the run-up to the passing of this bill?
No. What has come up is the clear consensus that the measures in this bill are needed. I mean, I was talking to David Lewis, the Republican chairman of the Rules Committee and someone who is staunchly behind this bill. And he said, look, we need to do everything we can to make it easier for people to vote. More people are going to want to submit absentee by mail ballots, and more people are going to want to be sure that if they do go to polls to vote in person, it will be safe to do so. This bill provides money for counties to buy personal protective equipment, the PPE you hear about, the masks, for poll workers to use. And that's a concern because there might be fewer people willing to volunteer to work at polls. Many of them are in an age group that is more vulnerable to the coronavirus and COVID-19, the respiratory illness connected to the virus. So there's broad consensus among Republicans and Democrats in North Carolina that this bill is absolutely necessary. Now, Republicans may have gone a bit farther in terms of boundaries by making it a felony in this bill for anybody to send an unsolicited absentee by mail ballot to a registered voter. But there is broad consensus that the very minimum measures in this bill are needed.
Rusty Jacobs is a politics reporter at WUNC. Hang tight, more in a moment.
Hi there, my name is Celeste Gracia, and I work with Dave at WUNC North Carolina Public Radio, which produces this podcast. And this is a good time to say thank you to everyone who supports WUNC. Whether you are an individual donor or a business, we can't say thank you enough for providing us with the resources and opportunity to serve the state of North Carolina with up-to-the-minute news and information. Everyone at WUNC is working around the clock to do just that at this unique and perilous moment in our history, and we couldn't do it without your help. So thank you, and if you are able, please go to WUNC.org if you want to donate for the first time or to increase your support.
As it turns out, the RNC isn't the only thing in North Carolina that's up in the air because of COVID-19.
So the drone was launched from the catapult and took off, and really, it went out of sight, and we monitored it on a large screen, and we were able to see when it made that drop.
Basil Yap is the program manager for the North Carolina Department of Transportation's Unmanned Aircraft Systems. This week, NCDOT helped launch one of the first drone drops of personal protective equipment in the country. They've partnered with Novant Health and a drone company called Zipline to deliver medical supplies like PPE. Yap says they've expedited their project to provide aid during the pandemic and offer a way to distribute items that circumvents human contact.
During any crisis, it's important to be able to move critical medical items quickly and efficiently. And who would have thought that PPE would have been such a scarce resource 6 months ago? So they have this scarce kind of resource that they need to make sure that as they distribute it efficiently.
The drone carried about 4 pounds of PPE for a 100-mile round trip from a distribution center in Kannapolis to Novant's Medical Center in Huntersville, just north of Charlotte. Yap hopes this route is soon going to be one of many. They've asked the Federal Aviation Administration for permission to safely fly over more spots across the state.
We have this long-standing history of the birthplace of aviation, and so we're excited to see some of these first real, meaningful, large-scale drone operations happening right here in North Carolina, and we're able to kind of continue that legacy of being first in flight.
That's it for this episode of Test It. I'm Dave DeWitt. Charlie Shelton Ormond is our producer, Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer, and Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you next time.